Walking Dead Season 7, Episode 12 is over, but we're just getting started here on the Walking Dead post-show recap here on postshowrecaps.com. And now, here are the guys who can't get enough chili and mac and cheese all in one packet. I'm Rob Cesarino, here with Alex Kidwell and with Josh Wiggler on the line. Josh, how are you?
Wow. I'm well. I kind of figured you were going for the chili and mac and cheese. It just seems like any time a chili and mac and cheese is on your radar, Rob, you just can't resist.
It's the ultimate combination, just like this podcast team. Alex, I didn't ask how you are, but we've been watching the show together for the last 90 minutes, so I know how you are already.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how Alex is doing. Alex, how are you?
Oh,
are
I'm
you
doing okay? Fine. I'm doing just fine. Thanks for asking.
Use our safe word if something's going wrong with Rob.
No, everything's fine here. Everything's fine. Okay.
Is that chili mac? Is that the same?
No, the word is yes. You're supposed to say yes.
Say yes.
All right, so it was a night out for Rick and Michonne, which
date night
ends up going awry.
And a sorghum and a wheat.
And awry. And Rick and Michonne realize that they're falling for each other and, you know, can't let anything happen to each other. They get guns. Rosita is getting cranky. She's getting impatient. She wants to do her own thing. Judith is a giant.
Judith is a giant. Oh, yeah.
They're falling through a roof for each other.
I really think that Judith being a giant is probably the biggest news of the episode. This is like Honey, I Blew Up the Kids. Like, I feel like we're going to see baby Judith just like stomping around all over Washington, D.C. She's going to run up to like a big billboard of a cowboy who's going to say, howdy, partner, and respond by saying, howdy, Papma. It's going
to
be great.
I consider myself to be a tinkerer with laser beam that can shrink a person or make them into a giant being.
Yeah, this is Eugene's fault. Oh, my God.
Apparently, there had been a baseball that had hit my laser.
Yeah, this is Eugene's fault. This movie is called Baby Eugeniuses.
Baby Eugene.
Yeah, we were talking about this during the episode, how it's like, I don't think a lot of time has passed, but Judith somehow is 9 years old.
Judith, I mean, listen, we're really getting closer to that season 27 scenario we have sketched out in the past of just one day The Walking Dead is just going to be the Judith show. I just don't think that we realized it would be happening so soon.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's talk through everything from tonight. Of course, this is just our first reaction to all of this. Josh and I will be back later this week to answer your feedback questions. You can send them in, all the things, obviously, that we will get wrong in this recap. TWD at postshowrecaps.com. Or go to postshowrecaps.com/voicemail to leave us your feedback questions as we go through all this. And of course, you can subscribe to the podcast. Go to postshowrecaps.com/TWD iTunes. Okay, so let's take this through in chunks, much like the chili and mac and cheese, how I would imagine texture on that.
Yeah,
I can't imagine that's great, but they were loving it. Oh, my God.
I guess let's talk through the Rick and Michonne manse and really an escalation in that it was something that just sort of, there was a time jump last season. All of a sudden, it was the first or second episode after the mid-season break.
Yeah, it's the second one, yeah.
Yeah, and Rick and Michonne were suddenly together. We really never got to see them spending a lot of time there as a couple. I think this episode was the makeup for that, and we really got to see a lot of Rick and Michonne on the date. Josh, how is that playing for you?
Well, I think that, you know, we really haven't seen Rick and Michonne as a couple at all. And that's because I don't think as a couple they've had any time to just be a couple. You know, they get together in that episode you mentioned, in that second episode back in the second half of season 6. They're making out by the end of that thing, and I think that's supposed to be first contact, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
No Zefram Cochran jokes to be had here, although maybe that counts. So I think that, you know, we've been waiting for our moment to see Rick and Michonne as an item, because ever since then, ever since they've gotten together, you know, things have really gone off the rails. Like, that's when the Savior conflict really started. That's when they took out the satellite station. That's when Glenn and Abraham get killed, and everything that's happened since. There hasn't really been time for the carnival romps, but now we're getting them. Now we're into carnival romp territory. It seems to be about that time in the season of A Walking Dead where we have a carnival romp episode.
And not to mention, you know, time, yes, but the Saviors also came and burned all the beds. So, you know, this,
right. That's right. Yeah,
limited in terms of your capacity.
Yeah. I mean, granted, watching this episode doesn't seem like Rick and Michonne much need the bed. Like, they were just, like, everywhere. Anywhere they could be. It was just, like, all over the place.
If you line up enough of those beef and gravy pouches, it's like a waterbed.
Wow. Oh, God. Gross. I don't want to know why.
How do you know that? Yeah.
Like, I imagine there's a lot of gravy, and it's a, you know, a sealed airtight pouch, and it probably has
not
some,
helping.
some rock and give to it.
Yeah, this is not the food porn I'm after.
Now,
so gross. So gross.
Always a tricky thing the first time you go away with your significant other. Josh, how do you think that the Rick and Michonne relationship survived this first vacation together?
They seem like they're still in the honeymoon phase, right? Like, it doesn't seem like they're really fighting. In fact, we see from Michonne how heartbroken she is over the fact that Rick almost is gorged by walkers and then is very, very happy when he's alive. And she wondered even for a moment, I don't know if I could make it without you. So from her side of things, things seem to have been going really, really well with her and Rick. And Rick also is the guy who's like, can't we stay a couple more days? Let's just be out on the road for like six more days. Can't mm-hmm. we just extend the break just a little bit? So it seemed like it was going really well for them. That being said, doesn't Rick say, like, I'll be fine if you die? Which I don't think is, like, a good thing to say on a date.
You'll be fine. I know I will. You will, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, that's the kind of thing that starts a real bad fight, I feel like. I get the point of, like, you'll be fine if I die. I'll be fine if you die. But I just feel like the reaction immediately is, like, what did you just say? You'll be fine if I die?
No. That's a mistake.
Yeah, someone's sleeping downstairs on the beef and gravy packets tonight.
Blair.
Okay, well, let's talk through the events of Rick and Michonne's date night. And we saw them out, you know, looking, foraging for stuff to bring back to the group. They end up stumbling upon a bunch of saviors who are out there playing golf. Josh, this is like shades of the Lost golf course, right?
Oh, my God. I'll take Hurley and Charlie every day of the week. You know, those are my guys. I would put money on them over the Saviors every day.
Okay. Now, Alex and I were trying to figure out, did they kill the Saviors that were golfing or they just stole their truck?
I think they just stole their stuff. I think that we would have seen that. And I also think it would probably be, I don't know if Rick is willing to cross that line until they've got the guns and the manpower to back it up. I don't think that they're ready to do that. So I think that they just jacked the car.
So at most, they killed people. At the least, they grabbed a bag of pretzels and hightailed.
Yes.
Well, I wonder, were those Dwight's pretzels that he brought back from last week?
At least maybe from the same supply closet, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, we don't know how many points those pretzels
The Saviors cost. Are just, like, loaded with pretzels. Eugene didn't ask about pretzels. They have, and those aren't homemade. Those are, like, store-bought, so.
Snyder's of the Sanctuary.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, so Rick and Michonne, there's a lot of business that goes on in this episode about this deer. Josh, do you have any of this backstory? Was there any mention of Rick and Michonne and a deer prior to this?
Yes, indeed. So a few episodes back, I believe about midway into the first half of season 7, is the episode where Negan and company come to Alexandria for the first time. And it's the big episode where Negan is really sizing the place up and taking everything he wants and just hanging out and bothering everybody. And Michonne is out during most of this episode. She is away from Alexandria, and she shows up at the very end with, I don't remember if she has her rifle out. I think she probably does. I think she gives that up, but she also has a deer that she has shot, and Rick makes her give the deer over to the Saviors because they have to give the Saviors basically everything that the Saviors want, and they want some venison. They're, you know, big into the venison, much like Daryl Dixon. And so Michonne, yes, and so Michonne has to give up the deer, and it's very sad, and that is why Rick owes her a deer.
Oh, deer meat.
It's a risky proposition. I kept watching out. I'm like, where's Otis? He's going to pop out of the trees and shoot somebody again. Yeah. That's what happens when deer show up.
I love reindeer. Rudolph.
On Dasher.
On Dancer.
Oh. Okay. So the deer does not get found here at this point. It will come back. Chekhov's deer is in play.
Chekhov's deer. Yeah, I feel bad for the deer. Oh my God. What a tough episode for the deer.
Yeah, that's natural selection. If that deer can't outmaneuver that you know, those slow zombies, and that's what happens to him.
It's a proud tradition, though, on The Walking Dead to just, like, mutilate animals. It's just not a not an animal-friendly show, The Walking Dead. There's a long history. You know, horses, goats, R.I.P. Tabitha, never forget. The many horses that have gone as well. The dogs.
If it's any consolation to the animal lovers out there in the audience, the deer that got killed was a horrible CGI deer.
Now, when you say a horrible CGI deer, is that a comment on the quality of the CGI, or was like the CGI deer like very badly behaved?
He didn't pay his taxes and like,
No, that deer got what was coming.
I don't know. I feel like that The Walking Dead, while it really excels in the practical effects, I feel like that more often than not, when they do anything digital, I feel like that you could really see the scenes around it. I mean, we had the shot a couple of weeks ago where Rick was with
Rick
the garbage people.
Like, on the up.
Trash mountain.
The horrible matte painting that was there. I just
Yeah, well, it's on the trash aggro crag.
Yeah. I know Greg Nicotero is great with all these practical effects, and the zombies always look great, but some of these other special effects that they do on the show, I think it gets pretty rough.
I don't know if you guys saw this, but there was a Reddit thread on the Walking Dead Reddit where people have found like a couple little blips in the background of that, and they're like, are those UFOs in The Walking Dead? You know, like, people are really on this now. God.
I think that this is a thing on Walking Dead. I mean, not as like a total rule that the digital effects are wonky. I'm sure that you could find examples where the digital effects were actually really, really great. I think for the most part, Shiva's pretty impressive, for example. But I do think that like even like headshots on the show, I've always thought looked weird. That's not something we commented on during our season one rewatch very much, Rob. But I don't know. I think that the digital stuff has always looked a little bizarre on Walking Dead. And there have been some... You know, in an ocean of bizarre digital effects, I think there have been some really bizarre digital effects this season in particular, like the trash pile shot that we're talking about before. And yeah, this horrible CGI deer. It's just, it's really like Greg Nicotero, like just like drew onto the screen. You know, or somebody like
somebody. YouTube video with a dinosaur chasing a kid today, and I think the dinosaur was more realistic.
It was bizarre. Like it looked like a deer that was like 2 miles.
It was a surprise egg video too, by the way.
It looked like a deer that was like 2 miles away, but it was 6 feet away. I don't know how to juxtapose that in my head.
It's just like some Walking Dead staffer's kid like got their marker out and just like drew over the episode. It looks like it's just really
animated,
like
Roger Rabbit.
Let's blurry him up a little bit. I
That's
think he's
an
a little
insult
too
to
crisp.
Roger Rabbit, I feel like. I feel like Roger Rabbit was better than this deer.
Okay.
I don't mean to speak ill of the dead, so I feel bad.
Yeah. Roger Rabbit is dead?
No, Roger Rabbit's fine. Roger Rabbit's fine. I'm talking about the deer.
Okay. I think he got dipped or something.
Yeah. No, sadly, we don't want to talk about Eddie Valiant, unfortunately.
Okay. Well, let's get to the carnival. So we saw this in the previews that Rick and Michonne were going to be at the carnival. Obviously, this is something that, you know, Greg Nicotero said, okay, wouldn't it be cool to have a whole Walker set piece set at some kind of a carnival? And we were going to deliver on that here in this episode.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I think that that tends to be the thinking behind a lot of the action set pieces on this show. That's fine. Like, if you're just going to come up with a really fun, creative, unique location for an action set piece on The Walking Dead, especially 7 seasons into the run, I'm always game to give it a shot. I think that there were things about the carnival that were really fun. I don't think that it's a total loss.
No, definitely not. And so we had Rick and Michonne on this roof, and I did think it was suspect that there was a roof that was like covered in water, but I was saying to myself, there's no way this roof is going to collapse, because we've already done a collapsing roof on The Walking Dead. And Josh, I think it might have been going back to the first episode that you and I ever podcast about, when
season
they made
premiere.
The run into town and old Blue Sky Bob in the liquor store needed to go and get some booze.
That's right.
And there was a helicopter on the roof, and we already did the collapsing roof bit. And yet, here we are, Rick and Michonne on the collapsing roof.
There's nobody supporting these beams out there, Rob. This is further dilapidation is all that's going to happen going forward.
Is the collapsing roof the new dumpster? Like, if we're going back to the trash with the trash people, if we're revisiting the dumpster that Glenn hid under and we're going back to it with the trash people, are we now revisiting the collapsing roof? Is this another warning sign?
I thought that when Rick jumped out, when Michonne thought he was dead, I think he was clearly under a dumpster in this episode.
Are you serious? Was there actually a dumpster? If so, I have to go back and rewatch
it. It was
that.
A yellow, large bin-like container that may have once been
Stop
a trash
it.
Receptacle.
Unbelievable. That's too much. That's too much for me to handle right now. It's really late on a Sunday, and my heart just can't take
yeah.
that. I also thought the collapsing roof reprise was a very odd choice. And not only just in terms of like doing that again, but once again, like the way it was shot, where they just suddenly, very suddenly, drop out of frame, and there's like no acknowledgement really of like the weakness of the roof itself. Like there's no shot of their feet on top of the roof where you're starting to be like, oh no, that doesn't look so good. It's just completely out of nowhere, and it was so visually jarring. I was just completely taken out by that.
And now if that wasn't enough, then Rick and Michonne just fell through the roof. Oh crap. And then it's just followed immediately by ha 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 ha. Like just laughing about it. It's like way to even take the tension out of this. And then what luck, they landed on an air mattress.
Yeah. I mean, really, from a comedic perspective, all that's missing is like it creaks. They look at each other and then look at you and then fall. I mean, that's
and
all that we
so
were missing.
It was so silly.
Yeah. No, it's like, I don't know, it's like the Roadrunner leading Wile E. Coyote over the ledge of over the cliff's ledge. And then like he like is standing on air for a little while and then realizes that there's no ground and just drops. And then everyone laughs because it's funny and it's a cartoon. Except this is The Walking Dead and this shouldn't be happening.
Yeah, we didn't get a puff of smoke.
Yeah.
No.
I don't know. If you needed to get them into this room, I just think you could have had them just like, you know, go in a skylight or something like that, just to have like the roof collapse and then them land on an inflatable bed, which was really just beyond ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. I think conceptually it's kind of ridiculous. I think it just looks ridiculous on the show. I thought the presentation was pretty sloppy on that. Not Walking Dead's finest hour of season 7 so far, which is not saying much.
Right. And if you want to have the fall through the roof, like just figure out some way for them to like land and not like magically fall onto a bed.
Yeah.
Just what we've been looking for.
Perfect.
There just had to be a better way to get them into that building than what they went with. But, you know.
What are you going to do? And so inside this room, also, there are all of these army rations, and they end up having a date night in. Josh, seemingly candles and lighters, and this was a pretty romantic setup here for Rick and Michonne.
Yeah, and they're just like feasting on these meals, these rations. Are these MREs, Alex? Is that what they are called?
Sure, let's go with that.
Yeah, I mean it's fun. It's fun. You know, it's date night. Everyone's drinking. Everyone's having a good time. I don't know. I'm happy for them. You know, it's a brief moment of respite in the zombie apocalypse. You can't be too mad at that.
Yeah. And the conversation's getting heavy where Michonne is pushing Rick to what happens next after Negan is gone. And there should be a new president, maybe? And yeah. She thinks it should be Rick.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've already been through the Ricktatorship. Isn't it about time to go through the Rick... I don't know.
Rickmocracy?
Rickmocracy. Yes. Rickmocracy. That's good.
Are we having primaries?
I don't know. Who's going to run against the ticket of Rick and Michonne?
Oh. Like,
I don't
know. Yeah, good luck, Gregory.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't really see anyone standing up to that. I feel like, you know,
Spencer
obviously, like,
run.
You know. Spencer would have run for sure. I think you've got Negan, Dwight. Negan Dwight is the incumbent, or is it Negan Simon, maybe?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Dwight's still waiting to get his own outpost. I get the impression maybe Simon has one.
No, I think maybe it is Negan Dwight, and I feel like Simon is like the speaker of the sanctuary.
Yeah. So Rick says, well, I would not want to be the leader alone. What about you and me?
Yeah. And Michonne's like, I thought you'd never ask. You know, I've really wanted to be, I've always wanted to be the president. It's something that I've always thought about. Yeah, she seems into it. She doesn't, you know, both of them, they're both really head over heels with each other in this episode. It's very cute.
It's real. It's really Anakin Skywalker pitch. We're like, together we'll remake the universe in the way we want it to be. Like, all right, dude, settle down.
I feel like, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, listen, on top of that, though, like, you've got Anakin is like, you know, like 10 years younger than Padme at that point. It was all of that was really strange.
Also, they have like established order that he's trying to upset. We don't really have that so much right now. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Josh, how's a chili and mac and cheese combined as a date food?
Why are you asking me that as though that's my go-to date food? Like, I don't know that I love the insinuation in the way that you asked that question.
I'm not asking you as the expert on date food, but you
mean in terms of a concept?
Do you host a podcast about a cooking TV show? I feel like of the three of us, you're the most qualified on the panel.
No, I don't host. I sporadically appear on a podcast about food in competition called Top Chef, and it's a great podcast, and you guys should all be listening to that. That being said, I don't feel like chili mac and cheese is like super conducive to
no pesto like aiolis on that, eh?
You know, a great date night in like a closed, confined, you know, quarters where it doesn't seem like there's any way in or out other than the roof. You know, it's going to get a little, I don't know. It's going to get a little claustrophobic in there after that chili mac and cheese, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you got a gourmet chef for date night. It just happens to be Boyardee. Yeah.
You know, Rick held up that packet and it was like he was pulling out some sort of like double chocolate covered cherries and like, hold on, I got just the thing. Wait till you see this. Chili and mac and cheese in one container. Like, oh, gross.
But Michonne was into it. Maybe he knows because he remembered way back when Michonne was just spray cheesing like a fiend. Like, was just like, really just like the spray cheese monster never forgotten.
I think the container's a factor, too. Like, is it slightly less gross in a can than a pouch of some sort?
Like, how is that a packet? Yeah. How is that like a combination that they came up with? It's like the design your own potato chip contest that we were talking about on News AF where people were making up like joke chip ideas.
Yeah.
Now what you're going to want to do is squeeze it up real good first so it's not
congealed.
Maybe that's why
Eugene doesn't like the homemade potato chips because he had a bad encounter with one of those contests.
It was macaroni and cheese and chili.
And chili.
That was not for me.
Both delicious separately, but when combined, a powerful poison.
I'm just going to stick with these here pickles. Thank you.
Yeah.
If you were 120 pounds, it could kill you. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, maybe that's what Eugene is making. Maybe he's making lethal doses of chili mac and cheese to disperse throughout the sanctuary.
That's possible. All right. So Rick and Michonne finally decide, okay, they're going to take on all these walkers. There's a lot of guns there. They have a plan. And they're really like so nonchalant about the whole thing. Like they're not even breaking a sweat of like, basically this is like the Dread Pirate Roberts, like fighting left-handed against the walkers and, just like, you know, a lazy Sunday afternoon, Alex.
Yeah. Yo, you can take 8. Come on now.
And I'll just be like goofing around over here with the car, car windshield walker, Josh, you like that guy?
Yeah, I mean, it was really gross. Like the many attempts to dislodge that guy from the vehicle, it was pretty nasty. Like getting the boot and like the foot, like most of that coming off.
Yeah.
Then like I think it's just the torso at one point. It's pretty wretched.
Is it just me or are we doing a lot more of that this season? The decomposing, like falling apart walkers.
Well, I think maybe to some extent, you know, we are in the later days of the zombie apocalypse at this point. I think, Alex, you made the comment about like roofs are deteriorating. You know, things are dilapidated at this point. I think that extends to the walkers right now. Maybe we're just in like a really fairly advanced state of rot with a lot of these walkers at this point.
Yeah, time and exposure making victims of us all.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So there's a part of this plan where they were going to push the car to block part of the fence, But there is a walker who ends up getting his machine gun caught on some poles.
Stop that.
And then the machine gun starts firing.
And, unbelievable. Yeah,
and but no walkers get attracted to the machine gun guy.
I think the two caught strays. They're like, and just kept moving towards the car.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. Come on with that.
You didn't like that?
Stop that. Stop that. The machine gun walker. Stop it. Oh, derp, derp, derp. I'm a walker. I've got a machine gun. I've got it very, very magically, mystically caught in the one exact spot where it's going to pull the trigger and start shooting in the direction of your vehicle. Stop that. Come on, Walking Dead. I'm trying to defend you over
I'm
here.
I'm surprised you're that upset about that.
Come on. The machine gun was so stupid. Yeah. Come on.
So then, Rick.
I'm trying, guys.
Rick gets into the car. The car has no brakes. Michonne gets into the trunk, closes the trunk, and they end up in a ditch with a million walkers trying to get them. Conveniently, it is a car with a sunroof. But how did Michonne get out of the trunk? Was this just like one of these cars where you could put the seats in the back down?
Yeah, I was wondering that too. Although, like, isn't there like, couldn't there be like a soft section between the trunk and the back seat where like the armrest goes down and maybe she's able to like sword her way through that?
Perhaps.
If that's a Volvo, I'd give it to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it a Volvo? Do we know?
So we'll just go there. It would have been good to see how they're going to get. I mean, it seemed like that she was in danger, that she was trapped in the trunk. How are you going to get her out of the trunk? But right. We just like yada yada her getting out of the trunk.
Well, that's not even like the most like confusing mechanical question of the episode by a lot. So, you know, we can
it's
skip past that.
It's in the top five.
I mean, there was a lot. There was a lot in that department.
So then Rick and Michonne are running through the carnival. And there's a really surreal moment that happens where Rick and Michonne say to each other, like, should we just get out of here? And they're like, no. They're like, wait, that was an option?
We got this.
It was an option to retreat? And they're not going to take it?
Rise up.
No.
Yeah. I guess we don't back down. We've come this far.
You know, they're so close to the guns, right? Why not? Why not just, like, keep going? They believe in themselves. They're badasses. They're able to do this.
But if you could get out and regroup and then maybe come up with a different plan, that seems like that would make some sense at this point. Like, the things have gone awry.
Indeed. End of sorghum, as we said.
Yeah. All right. So we ended up with then Rick and Michonne splitting up. And again, so nonchalant of like, how many you got over there? Okay. I'll just be like fighting these guys backwards.
But wait, there's a deer. Let me stop for a while.
Yeah. Okay. Alex, talk us through Rick seeing the deer.
Yeah, so right, he's just like he's in the middle of it, and there's like one on his like blind spot and everything. And it just doesn't matter because the deer showed up. Like it's just there it is. So let me go ahead and climb up on the Ferris wheel so I can get a good gaze at this thing.
Yeah,
and it also seems like he like has like a weird misstep, right, that causes him to drop like a sack of bricks, like. It's just, again, questions of, like, how did that exactly happen? Like, I feel like there's a shot missing that explains, like, exactly how Rick just wipes out so hard.
The carnival hasn't been, you know, serviced in quite some time. Yeah. The screws are loose.
I'm not exactly sure about this. I mean, I know he owed her a deer, but he gave her a cat from the garbage dump. It's not like they're starving. They just ate all these rations. It just seems like the deer could have waited.
A deer for my deer, you know, he really just wants to really put a bow on this romantic getaway that they've been on. He's just like really feeling like the pressure to be super cool Rick right now. And he's like, how awesome would it be if I was able to not only wipe out all of these walkers right now, but secure a deer? Okay. That would be pretty dope.
So Rick falls down and then the horde starts to come for him and he's surrounded and his gun is emptied. And somehow he gets out of this. Could we talk through the mechanics of what happened?
Can I also just say very quickly that I really thought, you know, when he sees like more walkers advancing and it's clear that the walkers are going to get to the deer before he's able to get to the deer, I really thought that Rick was still going to shoot the deer to like euthanize the thing, to like spare it from getting like ripped apart while it's still alive. And Rick totally has time to do it. And I think Rick like consciously chooses like, nah, I'm just going to let the deer just get ripped to pieces. Like, I think that's fine. I just felt like this kind kind of a dick move. You know, it's like you have an opportunity to just like do a nice thing for another living creature and you're just passing. You're just going to save that bullet. Come on, man.
Well, my question was,
what would Glenn have
done? Did Rick kill the deer? Did he kill the deer so the walkers would eat it and leave him alone as a diversion?
Oh, is that the move?
I don't know. I can't figure out what happened. Like the Rick is surrounded by walkers. Somehow they're eating the deer and Rick gets away. I don't understand. Other than if he used one of the bullets to shoot the deer and then they started eating the deer and then he ran and hid for several minutes while Michonne would think he was dead.
To me, that makes more sense. And like, I know they're kind of in a closed in spot, but to me, that makes more sense than walkers running down an agile little deer. Like it was one thing when the horse is trapped in the intersection, but, and it's one thing when Tabitha has a chain, but this deer, there's no, what a dumb deer if it just got caught.
Yeah.
Well, we'll review the tape. We'll have to go back and we'll have to see if Rick Grimes is ultimately friend to animals or foe, because this is a bad track record of Rick just leading all these animals to the slaughter. It's very, very, very unfriendly towards the animals.
Josh, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much were you buying the walkers eating Rick Grimes?
Come on.
You were 100% in on the deer.
100%. Yeah. Obviously, it was happening. Okay. You know,
all right.
That was it. That's how we lose
on
Rick.
On Twitter, some people said that they were really faked out.
Really?
Yeah.
Come on. We've been here before. We've been to this dance. We've been to this dance. Rick Grimes is not getting killed that way. You know, certainly characters can get killed off of The Walking Dead during like random off episodes. You know, some of these like bottle type episodes or the episodes that are, you know, not necessarily contributing to the main story or not a premiere or not a finale. Like that happens. But that's not the way that you're going to lose someone like Rick Grimes. Rick Grimes, if he's ever going to die, that's a finale. That's a hard season finale.
One of our listeners, Raider Man, said that would have been the best death in the show's history. They had me for like 30 seconds. Thought, OMG, this is how it happens.
Were either of you guys feeling like this was going to happen to Rick, or you had to imagine that there was some sort of trick?
No.
Yeah.
I was like, it's the deer. Stop it. It's the deer.
It's the deer.
It's the deer.
Or they're cannibalizing each other in some weird kind of twist.
I was going to say that you have to see the body get torn apart by the walkers at this point to believe shenanigans like that. But we saw Glenn's body get ripped apart by walkers during
that
dumpster
was trick
game.
Photography, so Josh.
Trick photography. Yeah. Fake photography.
Rick photography. Yeah.
It's so frustrating. Yeah.
But
anyway.
Where was Rick this entire time that Michonne was thinking that Rick was...
I don't know. You guys said there's a yellow dumpster somewhere in the mix, so apparently he was there.
Yeah. Like, I get why the show is having Rick out of the frame, but I just don't understand why in the reality of the scene, where did Rick go for a minute?
Unbelievable.
He had to catch his breath. He was hyperventilating.
Yeah,
he
needed a minute.
Okay. Man. So then Rick and Michonne, they get some wheelbarrows and they pull up all of the guns and they're going home and it looks like Michonne is upset. And again, I told you that these like first time away with a new special someone, it could go either way. And I've seen that look before on people. And I thought that maybe that Michonne was out, but it was just that she realized that she's too much falling for Rick. And if anything happens to him, she wouldn't be able to handle that, Josh.
Yeah, I feel a little sad that we yada yada'd past the incredible shot of Rick tossing the sword to Michonne.
Oh, you like that?
Didn't that feel like a Walker Texas Ranger moment? Doesn't that just like feel like something that you would see on a clip on Conan?
Yeah,
like he just like pulls the lever and Rick tosses a samurai sword to Michonne in the middle of a carnival.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Seems risky. Though.
I loved that.
Covered with infected blood and stuff. You know, you just get a little cut.
So for a minute there, Rob, you thought that Michonne and like Rick were going to be in the car and like Michonne was going to be like, Rick, this is too real. I think we should just be friends.
Yeah.
Like,
I thought she was going to
really
be like,
not
I don't even
this.
Know who you are. Like, what was that with the deer? What were you thinking?
You let the deer take the fall for you. That was really, really lame.
Yeah, that was so stupid what you were doing. Like, what kind of lunatic are you?
What a bummer that would be if Rick's pursuit of the deer for his deer turned out to be the undoing of this relationship.
Deer breaker?
Yes. Yeah, deer breaker.
All right. So Rick is talking to Michonne about he too has had these issues. She was the one that talked him into doing this. Alex, you pointed out the throwback to way back when Rick talked about how, you know, Glenn saved me and I couldn't save him.
Yeah, well, you guys just redid the first season rewatch podcast and, you know, listened to you guys talk about that. Like, did Glenn ever get paid back? And Josh said, you know, there was a couple points where Rick saved him, but I think we know now definitively that at least in Rick's mind,
yes,
Glenn won, Rick zero.
He was taken by the Vatos.
And Rick Glenn, how could we forget?
Even though he was actually in no danger, he was actually just administering medicine to old people.
Who knows what would have happened for a rogue abuela?
Perfect Walking Dead episode would be Return of the Vatos, Return of Morales, Return of Tabitha the Goat in the form of Tabitha the Goat's sister, and all of these characters at a carnival together.
Perfect. Yeah. Perfect.
Probably got to bring T-Dog back if we're going to really go there.
Okay. So this is when Rick and Michonne are having that conversation that you referenced earlier, Josh, about the... you could lose me. I could go on without you. But who cares? It's all about the future.
Right. Well, there's no future if you guys aren't around, you dummies. At least no future for you guys.
No, it's a movement.
Well, you know.
That's what they're fighting
for. At this rate, Judith will be driving next week, so it's not.
Yeah. Yeah, Judith's going to be babysitting Father Gabriel for next week.
So, after all this, we got all these guns and... we bring them back to the garbage people and these ungrateful garbage people. They live in a garbage dump.
Truly garbage
Who
people.
Who are they to say, no, not enough guns.
Yeah.
More guns.
And their garbage speak was especially obnoxious, I think, in light of that. I think, like, you know, more.
Me twice.
More guns.
Me twice. Yeah. Us nearly twice. Me twice.
Nothing worse than an elitist trash people.
Yeah.
These freaking heapsters are just ruining Alexandria. Yeah.
Go get us more. I'm going to just hang out here with this vape and bongo drum.
Who are they? Why do we need them?
Yeah. Bring back Cat. You know, just shut up. Shut up, Jadis. You know, stop.
What do they have? Well, like, we just need more people. We have 63 guns. We just need people to shoot guns. That's it?
Uh-huh.
Okay, I mean, why couldn't we just take all the people from the kingdom and give them these guns? Why on earth are we messing around with these garbage people?
Yeah, we got to be done with the trash people. They're just bad. It's not great in terms of the deal. They are probably among the most annoying characters we've encountered on The Walking Dead. And God, that's saying something.
Right.
The sooner we untangle ourselves from this mess, I think the happier everyone's going to be.
If the garbage people have like built a garbage cannon. And they have some weapon or something. They're bringing something to the table.
A catapult.
Weaponized our filth. Yeah.
We've never even established anything that they could do. Like, okay, Oceanside, they have a lot of guns. The kingdom, they've been training for different things. The garbage people, they have no resources. They live in a garbage dump. They have garbage.
There's been zero vetting of these people, unless you want to count Rick fighting against Winslow, or is it Winston? It's Winslow, right?
It's Winslow.
I don't even remember, you know? Unless we want to go and, like, say that that was the vetting process, and if so, these people failed. They threw you in a pit with a weaponized walker. Like, what are you doing? Just never come back to them. Leave these people behind. I guess they know how to get to Alexandria. So eventually you're just like, oh, great, got to deal with the trash people. But you would think that you'd smell them miles away.
Right.
It's like we've established two things here.
Like, even Negan doesn't even bother with them. Even Negan's like, oh, I don't even want half of their stuff.
Gross.
Oh, I knew about them long ago, but they've got nothing for you.
Believe me.
Yeah.
So Will on Twitter wrote to us and said, so did Rick's hand immediately heal after having a spike of the head of that walker go through his palm?
You listen, that's the medicinal properties of chili mac and cheese, you know?
Yeah.
Right? Get your prescription written tomorrow. Yeah.
And then, Alex, can you take us through the negotiation that Rick has with Jadis Pinkett Smith?
Yeah, so to me, that's the best. That's one thing we've established now, is they terrible negotiating skills.
Oh, my God, it's so good.
So Rick's like, you got to leave us 10 guns so we can go take care of them.
Yeah.
Three, 10, 5, 10, 6, 10, 9, and get the cat back. 20, and I keep the cat. Done.
Okay,
what's
deal.
What's wrong with you people?
They are well garbage played, negotiators, Jadis. Too.
Yes, yes. Well done, Jadis. Yeah, you got everything. Got everything you ever asked for.
Not my
and
leader.
Now I'm really curious of, like, what is the significance of this cat? You know, why does this cat really, really matter to Jadis?
It's just because they liked it. So, yeah. Oh, it matters to you, so I want it back now. That's how it's like a typical trash move.
Yes, okay. And so Jadis leaves Rick with the message, more soon, we'll fight.
More soon, we'll fight. Nap now. Tired.
Roger that.
All right. So, and that's really the end of the Rick and Michonne story
Cranky.
For this week.
Yeah.
All right. Let's touch on the Rosita storyline. We'll talk about Rosita and Tara because she's involved with this. And again, more of, moody Rosita going on this week. Josh, is Rosita wearing on you the way she's wearing on me?
Oh, she's not wearing on me the way she's wearing on you, because I feel like, a real special shine to Rob Sesternino.
I can't
Sesternino
take her anymore.
I know. You're really having a hard time.
Oh, I mean, she's like...
I'm fighting other battles on the Walking Dead front right now. I don't have the energy to get worked up.
She's so pouty. It's like, you had the shot. You could have killed Negan. Yeah. You didn't. Stop blaming everybody else for this and moping around.
Oh, I already fixed my own scar myself.
Father Gabriel was really, really cool tonight by being like, yeah, no worries, just saved your life. You know, no big deal. Definitely don't have to thank me for that. Like, he played that really cool. Like, I feel like if you had been, let's say you're Father Rob right now, okay? Like, you're not, you're quantum leaping into Father Gabriel, and Rosita's coming and barking mad at you for saving her life and causing all of these problems and blah, 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 blah. You're not responding as level-headedly as Father Gabriel is.
Probably not, Rob. Yeah. So Rosita starts off the episode, and first she's like, God, I guess I'll just take out my own stitches out of my scar now.
Yeah. Well, listen, she's a demolition expert. Who knows? Maybe she's, also
a
doctor.
I don't even need your help, Tara.
I can't just sit here and wait. I've got to go out and do something.
I've got to take these stitches out now.
Completely unproductive while Rick and Michonne do something.
Yeah.
Tara's like, if you think you need to take those stitches out right now, you're an idiot.
And then Rosita goes out and she's like, I need to find some guns today. I can't just wait around for you guys to find all the guns. And so she sees a gun and she has an encounter with a very unusual walker. Josh, this walker was not unlike the waterlogged walker that we saw way back on Herschel's farm. But I don't understand why this walker was in this condition.
I don't get it either. A really moldy house, maybe.
Oh,
she died in the bathtub,
and then she got
you're
up
moldy
when Rosita got to the front door. She has a close call with the walker, and then this really adds insult to injury for Rosita because the gun she thought she had found was but a toy gun. So she goes and takes it out.
Very realistic, that toy gun. Like, that's not good. Yeah. Let's not make those.
Yeah,
let's
don't bring
get
that
those
to
off the street.
Hey, you could go and beat him with it and see what happens.
That's dangerous. Dangerous. Yes.
So Rosita seeks out counsel from Alexandria's favorite whipping boy, Father Gabriel.
Is he into that? I didn't know.
Perhaps.
Maybe.
Well, here's what I don't understand, and hopefully you can help us figure this out. She seems upset with Father Gabriel for some reason, that Father Gabriel supposedly did something that prevented Rosita from killing Negan.
Yeah, well, she had a conversation with him, and he, like, convinced her to not, like, make the move that she was going to make, like, on her own, and then she ended up just, like, taking this half-cocked shot instead. So, like, she had a better plan that she forewent, and then I think she, like, kind of ad-libbed, and now it's all terrible, and she's looking to blame him. But, no, don't do that.
Josh, what was the Rosita plan A that she didn't do?
I don't know. Eugene, make me a bullet. I'm going to use this bullet to shoot Negan. And maybe she thinks that she has, like, a more spontaneous moment to shoot Negan, and then she's talked out of it by Father Gabriel, and then she sees what he does to Spencer, and so she's pissed off, and then she does it spontaneously, as opposed to, like, I don't know, just ambushing him. Whatever. Her plans weren't really going to work. You know, like, these aren't great plans. Everyone, you know, they're surrounded by saviors. She shoots Negan. Everybody dies. So her plans have not been very good. Father Gabriel, once again, proving to be the voice of wisdom.
Right.
Quickly making his way towards my top 30 characters of all time yes. in The Walking Dead.
Yeah, that's like the logical fallacy that she just doesn't seem to understand. Like, she seems to think, like, oh, you put down Negan and everyone's just going to drop their weapons and, like, put their heads on the ground and wait for you to tell them what to do. Like, I don't get that vibe, really. They've got a good thing going. Like, even if you were to take out Negan, I think the knee-jerk reaction is, start firing rapidly.
Mm-hmm. We see Tara with Giant Judith, and she's in full-on monologuing to the baby. Josh, I thought it would have been funny if Judith's first words were about, Oceanside has guns.
Yeah, yeah.
Oceanside has guns.
Stop.
No.
Dad, Oceanside has guns.
What is she saying? Who's Oceanside?
She's a baby. She doesn't know what she's talking about.
Guns.
Is she a baby? She looks like she's about to go to college, this kid. Oh my God. Yeah, I thought that somebody would like overhear it, like, right? Like Carl or Enid
where
or somebody
Carl?
Was. I don't know. I think Enid's at the Hilltop. I don't know where Carl's at.
She'd
right
be now. Like that parrot in the Geico commercial.
Yeah.
But you would spot. Think that like someone would be overhearing. I don't know. Tara confessing her Oceanside secrets to baby Judith. To giant baby Judith, and like suddenly giant baby Judith. Like, this is a blind side out of nowhere. Judith is just enormous.
She's wearing jeans now.
Yeah. This is just it's an odd scene. In an episode that is filled with odd scenes, this is a real, real strange duck.
Oshkosh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay. So then, after we have the confrontation with the garbage people, then this is not enough for Rosita. She can't wait around. She's off to the Hilltop. We find that out when she ends up talking with Sasha there. But first, we see a confrontation between Tara and Rick, who can't find Rosita. And Tara finally has something to tell to Rick. So, Josh, it does seem as though the Oceanside Tara story is on the horizon.
Thank God. Let's just do that quickly, please. Please.
Rick, I've got something to tell you. I know a great spot where we can get fresh fish.
Yes. Is there any way we could do this off camera? Could we yada yada the Rick and Tara go to Oceanside?
No, I wish, I really do, but we're obviously going to spend an entire episode on our way to Oceanside, in Oceanside, negotiating with Oceanside, maybe killing Oceanside and taking their guns. Who knows how it's all going to work out, but that's a full episode.
Well, it's interesting,
definitely.
Because here we are, we're halfway through the back half of season 7. And there's only 4 episodes left. It looks like next episode is going to be an all Hilltop. In the preview, I only saw Carol and Ezekiel and people at the kingdom. So then there's only 3 episodes left.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, we got to go back and see Negan at some point. So I don't think we have time for a Tara standalone episode again.
You would think so. But Walking Dead can find
time. You think it's going to be that 6th episode? It's going to be the week after next?
I would not be shocked.
They found
I
a
really
way.
I could totally see it. I could totally see it. Hopefully not. Hopefully they just do that quickly.
Yeah.
But this is Walking Dead season 7 we're talking about. Like, that's totally in line with where this show has been all year long.
Okay. And then the final thing that we end up seeing is Rosita at the Hilltop with Sasha. And, you know, Sasha just happens to be tending to Abraham's grave when Rosita shows up, and they are going to, Josh, Thelma and Louise this thing.
Yeah, it seems like it. They're like, yeah, this probably isn't going to work. Like, we're not going to be able to walk out of this thing alive. But you want to do this anyway? And they're like, yeah, this sounds great. So they're both happy to be kind of on this this one-way ticket to the sanctuary right now, which it sounds like would be at least partly okay for you.
Yeah, it would be partly okay for me. I just can't deal with sort of like the petulant poutiness of Rosita for now the entirety of season 7.
Yeah, way to go, Rogue, and take the best shot with you, too. Thanks.
I think to like just like emerge from obscurity, like complete obscurity on this show, like to really just be a background player and then to come out so aggressively and so angry with everyone. It's not really winning anybody over, I think, is the thing.
And so that Sasha, you know, very measured in her response. Okay, like, you know what this means, right?
I love Sasha. Love Sasha. Seeing like Sasha with the gun was really cool, you know, because she's the sharpshooter of the group. And this is a pretty badass looking instrument of destruction she's got in her hands. And you know that that's going to be pretty powerful in Sasha's hands. And Rosita's even saying, you take the shot. You're the shooter. I thought that was cool. I did like this scene. I thought it was pretty pretty cool note to bring the episode to of like, I guess I didn't really think that there would be any kind of like payoff of this feud between Rosita and Sasha. I kind of just figured it was like a character note where Rosita just does not like Sasha because of how things went with Abraham. But it's kind of interesting that now these characters are being brought together and like they are joining forces over a common goal despite their personal differences. I'm interested to see how that plays out, especially because I'm a big Sasha guy, if not a huge Rosita fan.
Okay, so they are off to go to the hilltop. I feel like we've had more characters this season come up with some sort of a plan to go to the hilltop to assassinate Negan.
Well, they're currently at the hilltop.
I'm sorry,
they're
to go to the sanctuary.
Yes.
So we'll see how this pays off. It just seems like this can't work, right?
Yeah, probably not. You know, it doesn't seem like, again, like Rick isn't going to die at a carnival in the middle of a season and Sasha and Rosita aren't going to assassinate Negan. You know, that's just not the way that this is going to play. Mm-hmm. But it might produce some, you know, some intrigue.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Rick's leadership stock takes a hit, you know, when he can't protect Glenn and Abraham. And so people are starting to think like, oh, I could do better for myself maybe. But no, you're Spencer. You can't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So exactly, yes. They'll end up having what happened to them, Josh? Do they get captured? Do they get killed?
I mean, I think it could be either or. You know, I think if like Rosita got captured and Eugene is there, so like that's an interesting dynamic to play around with potentially. You know, Sasha could escape from that potentially, and you could see Rosita getting caught. But you can't imagine Rosita surviving long in Negan's custody because Negan already knows Rosita. Like, Rosita's the person who shot Lucille. But then you have Eugene who's going to be there, and that would be very difficult for him. So that just feels like there's a lot of potential there. So I like that as a possibility. I think that could be a direction we could go in, is some sort of Rosita is now a prisoner of the Saviors and may not be for long, and that's going to provide some tension for Eugene to maybe move a little faster.
Okay, I like that. So we have Rosita in the sanctuary brig, and then it looks as though Eugene has been like a turncoat, and then she could like really like dress him down in the cell, and then he can question everything.
Right, exactly.
And then reassure her like he's got some plan in the works.
I have a secret plan.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I like it.
It involves arcade games called Yar's Revenge.
Yeah. More like Rosita's Revenge.
Rosita's Revenge.
Okay. Worst Atari game ever. Okay. All right. Anything else from tonight's show?
No, nothing that we won't get to on feedback later this week, I believe.
Okay, yeah. So let's set that up. The feedback show, send us your messages, twd@postshowrecaps.com for the email address, postshowrecaps.com/voicemail. I know we were kind of down on the episode tonight. Again, we loved last week's episode. Alex, you have anything else positive that we can end this with?
I mean, I'm excited to see where this is building, because I do feel like we're going to get some more action towards the back half of the season. We have to. So, I mean, hopefully I'm not setting myself up for disappointment, but that's my hope.
Have to? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Would yeah. like to.
Would like,
would
to.
Like that. Would like I would to. Like that. I don't know if we're going to get it.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Josh, do we have a hashtag?
Let's see.
Chekhov's deer. I feel like we had a bunch of stuff at the top of the episode.
We had baby Eugenius at the start. We had beef and gravy bed. We had deer breaker at one point.
Giant Judith.
Yeah, Giant Judith.
Giant what? Judith. Yeah.
What do you want, Alex?
You make me choose?
Yes.
All right, Giant Judith then.
Giant Judith.
All right, Giant Judith it is.
That was the biggest, to me, that was the biggest, you know, WTF moment of the whole episode.
It was
whole episode.
Giant
yeah, literally.
WTF
yeah,
moment.
It's a giant, wow. gigantic
I mean,
child.
This not only is this not a baby, I mean, she's like making facial expressions at Tara. Like, what are you talking about, crazy lady?
She's Hodor now.
now. She's going to carry Carl on her back.
Yes, yes. Oh, my God.
Let me be your eyes, sense. Brother.
Judith, yeah, Judith, sense. Judith.
Yeah. Yeah. Carl's going to warg into Judith.
Because he can't see.
Wow. Melting down on the air. Melting down. Melting down.
Okay. All right. Well, great stuff. Josh, are you writing anything about this episode?
Yeah, I've got a little thing on there right now. It's kind of a comic booky again. If you're not a big comic book person with Walking Dead and you like to avoid that stuff, then don't seek this article out. But maybe talking, looking into the future a little bit based on some of the conversations that happened in this episode of Walking Dead. So that's up at thr.com/Walking Dead.
Does Carl have the green sight?
Not yet. Not yet. He's working.
He barely has the regular site.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Good stuff. Of course, you follow Alex Kidwell on Twitter at Alex Kidwell.
Yes.
Anything else, Alex?
I'm getting hungry. I need to go find some beefy Mac or something.
Okay. Get him some rations. Josh is at Round Howard. I'm at Rob Sestrino. Looking forward to reading your comments on postshowrecaps.com. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.